In the night, we sure appreciate it, and thank God for the message and song. I want you to take your Bible with me, please, to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, and chapter number 27. And I want to do our best tonight to give you a thought and a message on the greatness of the cross. The greatness of the cross. I am thankful for the cross. Paul said he'd glory in the cross. Amen. I thank God. We need to be glorying in the cross, even though the scene of the cross was brutal. That's right. The scene of the cross was a brutal scene. It was a sad scene. It was just an ungodly scene. But yet the debt for our sin was being paid, and it got paid. The Lord said, "It is finished." The debt was paid. Never again do we have to go into a temple and with a lamb without spot of the first year, no blemishes, and offer it there for an atonement for our sin, just paying interest on for another year. But Jesus came and died once for all. And I thank God for the cross. The Bible says in Matthew 27, look at verse number 33. Y'all know the story, the crucifixion. "And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha," that is to say, a place of a skull, "they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink." Now, vinegar mingled with gall was used to make a victim go unconscious. So therefore, Christ never went unconscious. He endured every bit of it. He endured the cross, despising the shame. And he laid down his life. He didn't drink it. He didn't take it. Therefore, he was conscious doing it during the whole thing. "And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." And the scene was brutal, but it was also sad. Here Christ is giving his life on the cross, and they're casting lots for his vesture, for his garments. "And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, 'This is Jesus, King of the Jews.'" Folks, I'm trying not to stop. "Then there were two thieves crucified with him, the one on the right hand and one on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, that thou destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him. And he trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth." I will stop reading there for sake of time. Now, folks, honestly, we should not wait until Easter to keep a good reading of the crucifixion. We shouldn't wait to Easter to read about the resurrection. For the whole purpose that Christ came was to give his life a ransom, to die, be buried, and raise again the third day for our justification. And so we need to keep ourselves familiar with that. I believe in my own life, if I'd read this more, it would humble me more, make me more thankful for the price that was paid for me and whom did not deserve it, that ought to have been in hell when my back broke. But God so loved the world, amen, that he gave his only begotten Son. And then I think about the unconditional love of God, that he knew all about us, but yet he loved us. Nothing will ever change that. And he proved it. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrated his love. He's more than just talk. A lot of people just talk, but God was more than that. He demonstrated, he commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners. He knew every stinking thing about you, past, present, future, but he still came, and he still died on the cross. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross whose emblem was suffering and shame. He took our shame, our blame, our pain. He took it all on the cross. The cross is one of the greatest symbols in the Bible. Folks, remember, receiving the cross is essential for going to heaven. You got to remember that. The cross of Christ has been attacked by Satan, by his cohorts, and even before Christ died on it, they were attacking it and trying to keep him off of it. Amen. They knew if Christ got to the cross, what would happen. And folks, hey, the devil wouldn't part in when Christ was dying on the cross. He knew he had been defeated. He knew if Christ got to the cross that our sin debt would be paid. There would be hope for mankind. We'd have a chance for eternal life if we'd receive him as our Savior. He knew if Christ came and Christ got to the cross and died, he understood that the debt would be paid and mankind who was destitute and mankind that was depraved and unrighteous could be made righteous through the blood of Christ. He understood that. So therefore, many times they would try to kill him before, and the Lord would disappear through the press, and he'd remove himself from the situation because his hour had not yet come. So the cross is important. Think about the position that the cross holds. Think about the cross. Think about that cross, that position. And the top of it reaches toward heaven. Toward God. The bottom of it reaches toward hell, and the arms of it reach out toward the world. Do you understand that the cross is the bridge that gets us from hell to heaven? Amen. Get hold of that. The cross is the bridge that gets us from hell to heaven. I've seen that picture somebody painted of the cross being the bridge from hell to heaven. And folks, in essence, that's exactly what it is. We have no hope but hell had Jesus not come dying on the cross. So we see that picture in the position that it holds. Then we see the picture in the power that it holds. Folks, receive it and be delivered. Reject it and be doomed. The gospel, that's the gospel. Right? Receive the gospel that Christ died for you on the cross and that he was buried and rose again the third day. Receive the gospel and you be saved. If you reject the gospel and die in that condition, in hell you'll lift up your eyes being in torments. I'm thinking about King Agrippa in Acts chapter number 26 when Paul was giving him his testimony and giving him the gospel, and he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost means on the verge of, but yet still not going through. And folks, many people in this day are almost Christians. They're trying to weigh it out in their mind. And the whole time, hey, you know that, hey, you were born a sinner. You understand that without Christ, there is no hope for you, that you're going to hell. But you also know the gospel, that Jesus took your sin to the cross. He became sin for you. And he took your sin to that cross and nailed it down. Offenses against us, he nailed it to his tree. And thank God, the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, that was contrary to us, he nailed them to his cross. Amen. And gave his life for us. And you understand that. Why in the world are you tarrying? Why in the world are you waiting? You must be born again. You must receive the gospel. Amen. The power that the power is our rescue. The power is our lifeline. The power is that life vest that they throw out. Hey, that's the lifesaver. That's what the gospel is. That's what the cross is. And it's there. I like it. And it's reachable for everybody. Amen. Doesn't matter who you are, where you've been. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many sins. Folks, sin is what we are. Sins is what we do. We sin because we're sinners. Hello? Amen. We sin because we're sinners. But Jesus, hey, he took our sin. So we see the power that the cross holds. Also, we see the protection that the cross holds. Satan was defeated there. Folks, I got wrote in my notes, pause and shout right there. Amen. That's something to shout about, isn't it? Amen. The devil didn't win anything at the cross. He lost everything at the cross. His own fate was sealed at the cross.
There'll come a day where he's also bound and cast in the lake of fire. There'll come a day he'll also suffer. The cross was important because of its position, its power, and its protection. I want to notice a few things tonight, if God will help me, about the cross and the greatness of the cross and what the Lord has revealed to us in and through the cross. Notice number one, the Lord revealed to us the reconciling of the Father. The reconciling of the Father. Now that word reconcile means to call back into union and fellowship. Now, this is simplicity to most of you, but folks, we need to be reminded. We understand sin is a separator. Sin separated us from God. The wage of sin is death. Not only physical death, but eternal death. Separation from God. Physical death is separation from soul and spirit from the body. Spiritual death is when we're eternally separated from God. So, hey, Jesus came and God sent Christ and he died in our place. And through the cross, we have reconciliation with God. Jesus, and I've used this so many times, he took God by one hand, he took humanity by the other hand, and he brought us back together on the cross. Amen. Now I want to notice some things on this thought, reconciling the Father, God and God's anger over sin. Folks, we don't realize God is angry at sinners every day. Psalm chapter 7, verse number 11, the Bible says, God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Get a hold of that. He is angry at the wicked every day. Hey, folks, God's angry. But I like this. Well, God's angry at the unsaved every day. Why hadn't he consumed them? Because of his mercy, we're not consumed, what Lamentation said. Aren't you thankful God is angry with the ungodly, but yet he has not annihilated them because of his mercy? Let me slow down just a minute. I'm trying to run through this too fast. Well, get a hold of that. Before you got saved, God was angry with you every day. Before I got saved, God was angry with me every day. Why in the world didn't he snap his fingers and annihilate me from existence? Why didn't he go ahead and toss me into hell? Because of his mercy, I was not consumed. Because of his mercy, you was not consumed. Whew. God has great mercy. And God has great long suffering, but he's not forever suffering. And the reason, God, if you're lost tonight and unsaved, if you're here listening, if you're watching, whatever, hey, and you say, well, I'm not saved, that I'm still here. It's only because of God's mercy in your life. Amen. Don't wait too much longer. Amen. Don't wait too much longer. God's anger over sin, then God's atonement for sin. Leviticus chapter number 17, verse 11 said, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for your soul. Now, I know that's Old Testament. We can use that as an analogy. God atoned one place, but I'm glad God took away in another place. Amen. John the Baptist was preaching. No, he was preaching, then baptizing. And he looked up and he saw Jesus coming. And hey, folks, remember, this is still, when John the Baptist made that statement, it's still under Old Testament economy. But he made a powerful statement that crowd didn't like, and it cost him his head. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Hey, he already said, hey, he was a prophet. John the Baptist was a prophet. Amen. God already showed it to him. You see, God showed it to him before he was ever born. Amen. John the Baptist, you say, why was John the Baptist filled with the Holy Spirit before he was ever born? He wasn't like us, folks. You talk to God about that. We don't put God in a box. And if God wanted to fill John the Baptist with the Holy Ghost when he's 6 months in his mother's womb, he made him. He could do what he wanted to with it. Amen. Now, don't ask me to explain it all, but I believe it. John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit of God, 6 months in his mother's womb. That's what the Bible said. Amen. You'll never convince me otherwise, so don't even try. And when the angel of God told Mary, when Mary told Elizabeth, I'll get there, folks, it's been a day. I'm still in the King James Bible. Y'all hang on. Y'all keep up with me now. When Mary told Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother, they were cousins. Everybody with me now? Amen. You say, preacher, are you with us? That's the question. They stood belly to belly. You say, you can't prove that. Well, how's they going to talk? Back to back? I promise y'all they wasn't texting it. They standing face to face, belly to belly. And Mary tells Elizabeth, hey, I've never known a man, but I'm going to have a baby. And the Bible said John the Baptist leaped in his mother's womb. See, he was already filled with the Holy Ghost. He's already shouting. Let me put this in here. People filled with the Holy Ghost will shout. You say, preacher, if an evidence of me being filled with the Holy Spirit, I got to jump up and leap. No, but I'll be able to come out somewhere. Man, I'm running a rabbit now. I understand that. It'll come out through a tear, through a big grin, through a hallelujah, amen, and even through a leap. Amen. Even through taking a lap. That's right. Amen. Amen. If God's in it, it'll be decent and in order. It will not bring confusion. Amen. And I've got to get off of that because I'm going to be preaching something else. So we see God's anger over sin. We see God's atonement for sin. Then we see God's appeasement from sin. Bible says in Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. What about it? Let me read Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. See, the cross, God's revealed to us, only the cross can reconcile sinners, which we all are sinners. Amen. The cross is the only thing that can reconcile us to God. Amen. Adam ruined it. Adam ruined it for everybody. The first man, Adam. Listen to this now. The first man, Adam, voluntarily took death so he would not be separated from his bride. Get a hold of that. When Eve partook and then gave to Adam, if he'd have said, God said I'm not to do it, and he said, I'm not eating it, him and Eve would have been separated forever. Right. Get a hold of that. If Adam would have refused, he'd have been separated. So he voluntarily went into it knowing that when I partake of this, I'm dying. I'm dead. That's what the first man, Adam, did. The second man, Adam, Jesus Christ, did the same thing. He voluntarily, vicariously, knew exactly what he was getting into. But had he not took death for us, there'd be no hope for us. He'd be separated from his bride forever. He became sin, but he never sinned. The God-man. All God. All man. The God-man. He had no sinful nature because he was conceived of the Spirit. But yet he was still all God and all man, and he voluntarily tasted death for every man so he could reconcile us to God. Right. Notice next, secondly, I got to hurry. So we see the cross reveals the reconciling of the Father, but the cross also reveals the redeeming of the fallen. And again, I'm going to run through this because I know you know it. The cause for the fall is Romans chapter 5, verse 12. That's by one man sin into the world. That's Adam. The curse of the fall and death by sin, so death passed on all men. The cure for the fall is in 1 Corinthians 15:3, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried and rose again according to the Scriptures. Get this. In his body... to bear our sins. Christ gave his body to bear our sins. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Christ gave his body to bear our sins. Christ gave his blood to blot out our sins. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Christ gave his being to banish our sins. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us. Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for us. 1 Timothy 2:6, who gave himself a ransom for all. I could go on and on and on. The cross reveals the reconciling of the Father, redeeming of the fallen, folks. Then thirdly, let me go. The cross reveals the ridding of the foe, our enemy, the devil. The cross reveals the ridding of the foe. Folks, I'm going to read some verses. Y'all bear with me. It's kind of quiet in here. I'm probably boring you to death. The cross reveals the ridding of the foe, the description of his power. Who? The devil. Hebrews chapter number 2. Look at verse 14 and 15. The Bible says this. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So we see the power. Folks, if I didn't read that there, that there was a day Satan had the power of death. How do you know? Because when Jesus died and rose again, he took the keys away from him. The description of his power, that Satan had power of death. Jesus said, I think I'll take them back. We see the description of his power. We see the destruction of his power. Chapter 2, Hebrews chapter number 2, verse number 14. Let's look at it again. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him. Get that? That had the power of death and is the devil. So we see the destruction of his power. God took the keys away from him and he's destroyed him. You say, what do you mean he's still here? Folks, in the eyes of God, he's already been destroyed. When Christ died on the cross and rose the third day, he destroyed the devil right there. Folks, what do you think about it? Hey, how much power you got if you ain't even got the keys to your own house? Jesus took the keys of death and hell. He don't even have the keys to his own house. Get a hold of that. He has no authority of his own house. He only gets to do what he's allowed to do. The deliverance from his power. Colossians 1:13, the Bible says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Colossians 2:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The ridding of the foe. Boy, I look forward to the day that He has completely rooted out of our lives. Folks, we have trouble in three areas. The flesh. Well, let's go back. The devil, the flesh, and the world. We have trouble with the world trying to pull us in. The flesh is always trying to pull us in. And Satan's always trying to pull us into sin. And they all working under the umbrella of Satan. Our flesh is a product of sin. The world, the world system, the world philosophy, the world's thinking is a product of sin. Satan is a product. He's the product of sin when he went against God. All trying to pull us down. All trying to pull us apart. What a day it's going to be. What a blessed day it's going to be when we see him destroyed and gone forever. Amen. I heard a preacher that believes that when we're in heaven, we can still go down to hell and look around. How much heaven is that? Why would God wipe away tears from our eyes if we can go down there and visit and get tore up again? God destroyed it all. When I get to heaven, I promise you, when God wipes away tears from our eyes, there'll be no recollection of any of that. Are you listening to me? Folks, I mean, let's just be honest about it. It'll tear our nerves up right now and hurt our heart, because we do have people. We do have people that we love that's not saved. We do have people that we know that if they don't get right with God, they're going to hell. And they're going to be a day that we eternally separated from them. Folks, I don't mean to get off on this, but I just feel like the Spirit of God wants me to talk about this just 1 second. Because I'll tell you something, the devil has fought my mind the whole time I preached this. I'm preaching on the cross, you can imagine. The battle of my mind right now. So y'all smile at me every now and then. All right? A couple of you smile at me. Some of you said, I'm going to frown at you. Maybe you'll be quiet. That ain't going to work. But there's more pain of hell than just the feeling of it. Some of the pain of hell is going to be, hey, knowing that you'll never see your grandchildren again. Knowing you'll never see your children again. Knowing you'll never hear their voice again. Folks, you understand what keeps us Christians going about our saved loved ones that have died in Christ? It's knowing we will see them again. It's knowing we'll hear their voice again. It's knowing we'll fellowship with them again. Knowing the next time we see them, it'll be for eternity, and there'll be no more parting nor separating. But those that die without Christ and go to hell, they'll never have that again. They'll never set out to another meal. Folks, we got the marriage supper of the Lamb, us that are saved. You say, I don't think we'll sit with our family. You think what you want to. I'm sitting beside my family, my daddy, my mom, and everybody else I know. You say, you ain't got no proof of that. You ain't got no disproof of it. If I'm dreaming, don't pinch me. Let me sleep. But imagine rejecting the gift of salvation that's in Christ alone. Saying no to Christ. Saying no. And then dying in your sin. Dying in rejection of Christ. And going to hell and be eternally separated from your wife, your children, your grandchildren, your husband, from your family. You'll never speak to them again. You'll be in eternal torment. Separated forever. See, we won't be the ones here in a place, because we're going to a place where there is no time. 1,000 years, one day is 1,000 years. There'll be no such time. But in hell, it'll be all about time. Eternity will be slow. And every day, just like Abraham told the rich man's son, remember in thy lifetime, remember the opportunities, remember what Christ did, remember the opportunities you had, remember what I did for you, the time I gave you to get right with God. He's still recollecting that in his mind even today. Rejecting the cross is a dangerous thing. It's a very dangerous thing. And then finally tonight, the cross reveals the resurrection of the faithful. The prophecy of our resurrection, Job talked about it in Job 19. The power of the resurrection, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. The provision of the resurrection, John chapter 14, verse 19, because I live, ye shall live also. The cross. Jesus died on the cross, but the cross gives us life. And it gives it to us more abundantly. Church, I am thankful for the cross. I am thankful for the cross of Christ. Why in the world? Folks, when you think about it, we live in the South, and most Southerners are people of hospitality and of gratefulness. Not everybody. We've got a generation coming up that don't understand that some. But when somebody does a little something for us that didn't owe it to us, we are grateful. And we will always hold that in regard. Most people will. Some people won't. Most people, they'll remember that forever. Man, that, you know, they were good to me. I'm grateful. And folks, why in the world would you want to reject the cross? God's good to you. Why in the world would you want to reject it? And choose. And in hell, all you can remember is, you know what? Jesus loves me. It wasn't God's will that I come here and suffer this. He went to the cross. Why in the world would you want to suffer that? Why in the world would you want to go through such pain and agony when the suffering and the agony has already been done? Christ done suffered hell for you. In a sense, he's done suffered hell. He suffered the vilest of deaths on the cross. Your pain, your death, your condemnation, Christ did that for you. So why in the world would you want to reject it? Why in the world are you still trying to contemplate it in your mind? You know it's right. You know it's true that Jesus, you know you're a sinner. You know that Jesus took your sin on the cross, and you know he died for you and rose again the third day. Why in the world are you still in a place that you're still rejecting the gift of salvation in Christ? Why? I don't get it. Satan has you blinded. Don't let him outsmart you. God's done opened your eyes to truth. Don't let pride or the hardness of your heart, being ashamed, don't let any of that keep you from being born again. If you're watching tonight, I'd be glad to help you tonight. If you hear tonight's lost, come. The cross made the difference. Let's all stand. Miss Courtney's coming. Heads are bowed, and eyes are closed. The altar is open if you need to pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed just for one moment.